If you're expecting unexpected guests this Christmas, pop down to Tesco, because chilled party food is 3 for the price of 2. That's everything from duck spring rolls to Tesco finest tempura prawns, so you'll be prepared for everything and everyone. However you do Christmas, everyone's welcome at Tesco. Cheapest item free, selected stores while stocks last, ends 1st of January.
Nobody goes into caring for the admin. I know I didn't. So I'm looking forward to spending more time with my patients and less time in the practice.
Vodafone helps carers securely check patient records on care home visits, thanks to Citycom's managed solutions and our unified communications. Search Vodafone Business Solutions to discover how we're so much more than mobile. Vodafone. The future is exciting. Ready? Subject to area availability, minimum terms apply. Details at vodafone.co.uk. Business Solutions.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Valentainment.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Susie going toe to Tobin. Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, of the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, and joining me is the lovely and wonderful and just one of my favorites, Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What is going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Hi. Aren't you so excited about the big news about this week?
I sure am, Ben. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what that news is?
We are going to be doing shows in D.C. and in Boston. Boston's going to be in April, D.C. in March. We are going back. We had, like, a beyond spectacular time in both those cities earlier this year, so we are so excited to be going back to them. We also sold out in both those cities, so when these shows go on sale on Thursday at 10 a.m., you better get your butts up to your computer to buy tickets, because these will sell out. I think they're going to sell out, and I think they're going to sell out quickly. I'm putting my money on it. So go to watchercrappens.com to get your tickets. It's going to be amazing. And then, of course, we have our Dallas show, and we have our Irvine show, and we have Vancouver Just for Laughs. Those are actually already on sale. Dallas is our second show. We added a second show due to popular demand.
Darling!
So go get tickets, because our shows are so much fun. We just have a great time every single time.
Yeah, we're really excited to come back. And we were not sure where we were going to be coming in 2019. And yeah, we're very excited to be coming to some cool places.
Yeah. Yeah. So so go get your tickets and make sure also to get your Crappens merch, because all those cool limited edition designs that we've been doing all year long, well, they're all available for Christmas, the holidays. Mm-hmm. So go to crappensmerch.com or just go to watchacrappens.com. And you buy things to your heart's little content, okay? 'Tis the season. Make sure you get those shirts, because they're awesome. I get some great use and great compliments out of all, like, especially the What's the Matter, What's Happening, What's Going On t-shirt. People like that a lot. So,
well, there you go, everybody. Yeah.
What else can I say?
There's your testimonial.
Big testimonial from us. We're biased. But today, we are also here to talk Real Housewives of Atlanta and Married to Medicine.
Let's do it.
Big things happened.
Huge.
Exciting things happen on both these shows.
Huge things happen.
Huge. Okay. Huge.
So, what do you want to start with? Atlanta?
Yeah, let's talk about how that Cynthia opens up the show doing what she does best, slicing strawberries on her kitchen island. She's like, girl, kitchen island time.
Strawberry
time. Strawberry job.
Yes, and we have a mystery man in the house, and I wrote chill in the house, but it's not chill at all. Okay, it's not C. Hill. It is.
No, it's Sion.
It's Ben's boner walking down the hallway. His name is Leon.
That is true. You just heard the sound of my boner bouncing on the stairs. Blump, blump, blump.
Yeah.
As Leon, a.k.a. Black Jesus from Like a Prayer, comes into view. I was like, pitter-pat, pitter-pat, pitter-pat.
Yeah, and I was like, God, this is going to be a great episode. Cynthia is cutting strawberries. It's a man she's not even going to pretend to have a relationship. And talk about college. FF.
I know. I was amused that she's talking to Leon about Will. And she's like, Chad, we're like brother and sister at this point. I mean, it's very easy for me to talk about my love life. I was like, is that a thing? Is that brother-sister thing to like talk about who you're boning?
Yeah, I don't know. Me and my sister don't have those conversations, I have to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were raised very prude.
Yeah. And I also am appreciative of Leon to being the one man in Cynthia's life who seems to have any sense, because Noel wants to have, like, an apartment and a car for college. And he's like, no, absolutely not. And Cynthia's like, oh, but maybe just, like, a small car, a small apartment. He's like, no. None of that.
Why do you think that that's bad to have a car?
Well, I mean, the car is not so bad, but the point is that, like, you know, you have to work your way up to the car in college. Like, in my college, freshmen were not allowed to have cars. There's a limited amount of parking, and, like, you had to, like, work your way up. Like, I think I didn't even get a car on campus until, late sophomore year or something, or maybe junior year. And then I had to like rent out a parking spot behind a frat. And then it was only senior year that I actually earned a spot in the parking lot that the students can use. The point is, it sort of teaches you to be like stuck on campus and to mix with other people, you know?
Gross. Sounds disgusting. Glad I didn't go.
Well, why don't we go to a Mexican restaurant? Let's go to, I don't remember what it was called, but we now go over to a Mexican place where Shamari and Ronnie, not you, Ronnie, it was Ronnie DeVoe.
I would love some Mexican food.
I know. When I saw the scene, I was like, I want tacos right now.
Yeah, and Shamari is keeping with the theme of the episode, strawberry, because she's like, can I get some strawberry margarita?
The waitress is just like, okay.
Yeah. She's like, that sounded like a baby being blown out of a water cannon.
Clear her. And then it's basically like Josiah in disguise. So Todd and Candy join, and they are all ordering things. And Todd orders grilled veggies. And like, I swear to God, I thought the waitress says, oh, do you want that with the grilled fetus? And I was like, what?
Oh, wow. Speaking of, we've got babies all over this recap I know. So far.
She said fajitas, but I really thought she said fetus. And I was like, oh, wah, wah, wah.
And Shamari is like, my husband is always out doing shows, so it's nice to be out with friends. Like, are you chained to the house while he leaves? So they're having a couple's lunch with Candy and Todd. And Todd's like, are you guys over there being the corny couple holding hands? And she's like, be honest, what do you think about me talking about threesomes? I'm like, oh my God, can we please not talk about your fucking threesomes anymore? I'm over it. No,
I know.
I'm not that impressed, okay? Like, congratulations. Your husband cheated on you a bunch. You cheated on each other a bunch. Okay, why does it have to be a big discussion?
Like, literally no one cares. Like, it would, like, right now, like, I'm more invested in the fajitas that are coming to Todd than I am in hearing about the girl and the guy who you got invested with emotionally. Like, I am invested in the strawberry margarita at this point.
I know. She's like, we're both going to eat these fajitas. Are you guys going to tell other people? Because we're not afraid. It's like, okay, have a threesome with your meat.
Have a threesome with the Cholula sauce on the table. How about that?
That's absolutely insane. So Candy's like, well, I'm the only one in the group.
that talks about my sexual escapades.
And she basically says that she's always been the freak in the group because she's more honest about stuff.
Yeah. So then the conversation segues over to Hot Dog and about, like, the tattoos and how he freely puts women's names on his body, et cetera. Just more just, like, chatter about that subject, et cetera.
Yeah. And then we go over to... Now, Candy is still stirring shit, which I love, because Candy really does have it down where she can just stir as much shit as possible, and you really do buy that she's innocent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been saying for the past few weeks she's totally guilty in a court of Rondel for all of this, like, shit-talking behind Portia's back. Like, I don't want it to get back to Portia.
Yeah.
But I still like it. And I'm like, oh, you are being nice. Yeah. Like, even I start to buy it.
So then we see shots of, like, the women doing things all around town. It's like the traditional, like, we're opening the episode up, but we decide to do it, like, 5 minutes in after a boring scene in a Mexican restaurant. So we see Eva tasting cakes, and thank you, Bravo, for not making us sit through a scene of her tasting cakes. Like, we only see so many cakes being tasted this year. We see Cynthia driving around with Leon and Noel, and Shamari and Ronnie are playing with babies. Like, pretty much stuff that we really don't need to see. So, thankfully, for once, it was condensed into a little montage.
Yeah, so then we see Nini go, oh my god.
Oh, let it out. Let it out.
Sorry, guys. Ben's birthday gave me a cold.
Oh, it's, yeah, it happens.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay.
You okay?
So,
you okay?
Nini... Oh, yeah, it was just a little sneeze, darling. No big deal. No need to stop the show about it and talk about what desperation I'm living under.
So anyway, continue on.
Sorry, I was blowing my nose. Oh. I'm such a victim. I'm, like, totally Shannon Bedoring this recap. I'm like,
oh, I only had to stop because illness has befallen me because of some whore stealing my husband.
Okay. So Nini arrives over at Tanya's house, and I think she's got the nicest house of anybody on the show ever, right?
Oh, I thought so, too. I was like, that's a nice room. That's a nice room. What is this?
No.
Get a room with Carson and Tom.
Someone put on Facebook, okay, the last face you just saw on TV is the one that's going to save you from the zombie apocalypse. Who was it? Mine was Carson Kressley. And I was like, we're going to get eaten in 2 seconds because I'll just be laughing the whole time.
I don't remember who the last face was I saw on TV. It was probably, like, Shamari. Like, oh, great. She's going to have a threesome with a zombie now.
No kidding. She's going to be like, what do you think of that? Like, oh, geez.
The zombie's going to be like, you need to update your style. And I'm saying that as a zombie.
So Tanya's house is really nice, yeah. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And, she's like, so what did people say about me? What did people say about me? Did people say anything about me after the party? And then he's like, nothing really.
Yeah.
Tanya's kind of the reason you didn't get a peach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tanya's giving a tour and she's like, okay, so here's this room and here's that room and here's my panic room for when it's Tanya time, which I don't know what Tanya time means. Is that like a masturbation code? Either way, Nini
Tanya
is like,
time.
Yeah, it's Tanya time. But Nini is like, Tanya's bubbly, but that's fine. I was like, is she? Is she bubbly?
She's really not.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
I don't
not
find
all.
Her very bubbly at all. I do like Nini's new slick moves. I mean, she's coming into the season being fairly nice. Like, I actually like Nini again. It's the first time in years.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing what she's doing now, and it's pretty smart because we're saying, like, what kind of business is swag? Like, how much money are you going to make from some shitty little store? But Nini is making all of her customers into cast members.
Yeah.
So you know it's just thirsty women spending money because they think they're going to be on this show. And I have to say, that's pretty good. Good
idea. It is smart. She kind of figured it out. Like Lisa Vanderpump needs to unlock a reward tier for frequent customers of Sir. And it's kind of like, you know, if you eat at Sir 7 times a week and order the Chilean sea bass 3 of those times, then you get to be a featured cast member on Vanderpump Rules.
You can be the first to taste Chef Joe's soup of the day.
Have you ever dreamed of having exclusive access to cabbage soup? Then join the rewards tier at Villa Blanca.
So Tanya Singh is that she's been engaged for 3 years but hasn't been married yet. And so Nene's like, well, maybe they were talking about that, which of course nobody did. Nene's just bringing up her own shit.
Yeah.
It's like trying to help this girl out a little bit. And she's like, well, but then I listen to those people and I'm like, should I be getting married? Like, what's wrong with me? She's like, no, honey, people are more traditional sometimes. But you know what I always say? What floats your boat or whatever. She's like, everybody has a different way of life. I'm like, that is not you. Like, who do you think you are? That is not Nene. Okay?
Yeah. Well, you know what I always say? That's the way the cookie crumbles. No, Nene, no.
Nene, no, you don't. You say, fuck you, you're a stupid hoe, and you're wrong, and you're a slut, and close your legs to married men. Okay, Bleep. That's what you say.
Yeah. Bleep. So Nene is like, well, guess what, girl? I have big news. I have another nonsensical theme party to announce. This one's called Boobs and Bourbon. And it's not going to showcase boobs any differently than any other party we've done. And there will be no bourbon at it. So I hope you come, because I'm really hoping to top last year's Girls and Gays White Party Seafood Soiree Never Forget.
I just wrote LOL after that because I started off my notes of this scene. I said, Nene is not going to be able to handle that glass because it's like a new kind of artistic martini glass. It has like a stumpy little bottom instead of a stem. And Nene's pretending to be all classy because she's in this, like, really nice house. Not that Nene doesn't have a nice house, but you know what I mean. And I was like, she's not going to be able to handle this glass. And sure enough, the scene ends with Nene spilling wine down her tit.
Yeah, and revealing her bosom for all the world to see.
Nipple guards.
Yeah. So now Portia's driving down the road. She's calling up her sister Lauren, and she's like, I'm going to have wine with Candy now, or something like that.
Yeah, you know, she's going to lunch with Candy. And poor Lauren. Does Lauren do anything? Like, does Lauren actually even have a life? Because you would never know it from her scenes with Portia.
Just like, know.
Hey, girls, me, Portia. Okay, here's what's going on. Okay, bye, gotta go.
Like, Lauren's probably like, my son is barfing all over me. My husband won't speak to me. Like, has no one to talk to.
Lauren's like, hey, sis, I found those 10 books about veganism you wanted me to source. It took me about 3 months because there were a lot of them were out of print, but I finally found them. What's new?
I'm eating hot dogs.
Damn it. I just perfected cashew cheese for you.
You know that's actually, like, literally what happened. Like, she was probably working on cashew cheese for a few months for her sister.
So, Portia's like,
guess what I'm doing? No, not Dennis. I did him this morning. Check!
Gotta keep that hot dog money coming in.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's dressed like a boot.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anything. I just felt like I really needed
to. Gem in the Holograms boot. Like a purple-headed boot.
Yeah, so you were saying.
So they're talking about Candy, and she's going to lunch with Candy, and it was awkward when Candy brought all that stuff up the other day about the hot dog guy getting tattoos all over him of women he's dated. And so Portia's on the defensive. She thinks this is going to be a big fight. So she's like,
well, Candy would think it's odd to buy a man would buy a woman gifts because she's used to buying gifts.
And I was like, I mean, sick burn, but she also like did legit get married and have babies. So I don't know. I think that that's like a sword you should wait to use.
Yeah. Or just don't touch swords, Portia. I don't think I want Portia touching swords or even cutlery. I think like maybe like just some like oven mitts would be good for her.
So Candy's the first at lunch. Candy's always the first at lunch.
Well, it's lunch.
It's lunch. She's Candy ready. Is like, I don't think in all these seasons Candy has ever been late to lunch.
No, she will always, she is ready for lunch at all times. I think the only time she ever was late was when they were, I think, getting on a bus to go to Savannah. I feel like Candy, or was that Candy's bus and she was waiting for everyone else? I think she, no, Candy was late to that bus and she was getting called out by someone and she's like, Sina Riley, I'm always at time, especially for lunch. So don't want no drama, don't need no drama. And scene. That was her flashback.
And scene. And you know that she just goes and orders because they have the number 44 on the table. I was like, Candy has already counter-ordered and got her food coming to her while she waits for Portia.
Yeah.
She's my hero. And that's why she's
like
my hero.
There was probably like a 37 on that table at 1.2. This is like round two. Let's be honest.
She's having dinner now.
Yeah. So, yeah, so Portia sits down. She wants a fruit punch, which I thought was really funny for some reason. She's like, I just want a fruit punch. I don't know, like, with her fruit punch and hot dog situation, like, she's, like, culinarily regressing in a way that I'm actually secretly envious about.
So Candy's like, well, I guess our last convo was a little weird. Yeah. And Portia says,
well, in the past, our issue was you didn't want people talking about what they heard. So I figured you coming back into this relationship, you wouldn't be talking about what you heard.
And I thought that was a pretty...
That sort of sums it up pretty well. I was like, well, point checkmate to Portia.
Yeah, Portia is like learning, you know, like to talk.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And Candy says, true. Good point. But if that info came to you, you'd want to know. And she's like,
yeah, but you had a conversation with three chicks having tattoos on him. That's not nice.
And Candy knows she's wrong. And so she tries to play like, yeah, but wouldn't you want me to tell you? I mean, come on. And she's like,
no.
Not really. She's like, did I mention I got a diamond necklace for breakfast today?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't care. I don't care if he's fucking the family pet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, Candy starts saying that Dennis's skin isn't exclusive, vis-a-vis tattoos. And Portia is like,
well, most people's penises and vaginas aren't exclusive either.
And it's like, yeah, but like those, like having access to a non-exclusive penis or vagina is not going to necessarily be like a lifetime commitment unless there's an issue. unless it's like Jax Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. Where you just kind of expect it.
Yeah.
So Candy's like, okay. So she doesn't let herself get mad, even though Portia's trying to push her. And she's like, okay, like, let's just put it past us and be friends. I'm sorry. I was just trying to help you. And Portia's like, shade! Shade!
Yeah. Candy's like, let me just say
this. Like, you're the kind of person that knows if you dig, you're going to find bones. So let's pretend the shovel doesn't exist.
Don't need no bones. So then basically Candy revises her entire thing to just like, I just want you to be slower. You know. And so they sort of like find common ground in that, and Candy admits she was being shady, and Portia's, you know, they're like, well, shade. They squash the beef before it becomes a whole big thing. So
yeah, and I actually like that. I like this.
They handled it really
well.
Disagree,
but I love to watch people finish lunch.
Yeah. Now, speaking of lunch, let's see, Ronnie, if you can guess why I'm in a snit about the next scene, which has Cynthia, Leon, and Noel at an Indian restaurant.
Why you're in a snit?
Yeah. Why do you think I'm annoyed about this scene?
The juice? Was it the lychee juice?
Of course it was. What Indian restaurant serves lychee martinis? That makes no sense. Of course Cynthia goes to an Indian restaurant that serves lychee martinis. Like, that is like, that's like, it's like going to like a beer garden and getting like egg rolls or something. Like, it's like going to Olive Garden and getting like a tiki drink. Like, what is happening?
I don't know, but I love that I knew that. I was like, he's not going to like this. And then I did not.
Lychee martinis at an Indian restaurant? Like, I'm not. It's like going to like a Mexican restaurant and getting a lychee martini, honestly. Like, I just feel like lychee martinis are really reserved for certain types of restaurants, and Indian restaurants are not them. But I could be totally ignorant, and I'm open to being told why lychee martinis work in an Indian restaurant. But honestly, it hit me in a very wrong way, and it's been bothering me for many hours now.
Well, I just liked it when they made this lychee martini, but then Leon and Noel just ordered the juice, and it was, you know, little bottled juices, which I don't know why I was expecting them to, like, fresh juice the lychee, but I felt both of our judgment all over this.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
felt good. And then I was like, you know what? This is more interesting than this thing could ever be. So let's just stop at lychee martinis and move on. That's what I say.
Yeah. I think the only thing that's noteworthy about the scene is that A, they weren't able to order like shepherd's pie at this Indian restaurant. And B, that Cynthia is just like this hovering mom who's like trying to open up the lychee juice for Noelle. And Noelle's like, stop it, mom. Mom, you're kissing me. Now, lip gloss on my cheek, mom. Now you're wiping my makeup off, mom. That Cynthia was trying to get a cocktail for Noelle so that way Noelle could like get a test run before college. And Leon's like, so you want to get our daughter a cocktail at noon on a weekday?
Yeah. And Cynthia's like, well, I've never been a college child. So now Cynthia, this is like her plot. Like, I've never been to college, so I don't know what they do there. Have martinis at lunch, you know?
Oh, my God. Cynthia's going to go back to school. That's what this is going to be. Oh, I was surprised. God.
Please, it would give her something to do. My goodness, Cynthia. Jeez.
I'm surprised Peter didn't just, like, bust through that with a keg. Be like, does someone need to drink underage right here? Does someone need to drink? Well, keg stand time.
Peter's lychee.
he probably has an awful lychee martini at Bar One. It's like made with like actual leeches that have been pureed.
Yeah, it's lychee. You drink it and then it sucks out all your blood.
You know, it tastes all lychee. That's why it's a lychee martini.
So over with Nene and Greg, they're getting ready for their big party, and mm-hmm. Greg's doing wacky things like putting flower petals in his nose.
Oh God!
And Nene's like, Greg. Like, Nene's so over Greg, cracks me up. I'm like, poor Nene has to be nice to Greg because obviously he's suffering and he's really sick. And she's just like, Greg.
Yeah, this scene definitely needed some assistance from Kate Chastain, the queen of Bravo Tablescapes, because watching Nene just like throw faux diamonds on the floor and just like scatter them sort of like, like a shoddy slap shot scattering of fake diamonds. I was like, somewhere Kate is just, Kate's like opening up a can of tuna and she just goes, huh. I don't know why I felt like I had to say, huh. But I had to. I don't know what's happening.
Boobs and bourbon. Wow. Huh.
Huh. That's an interesting idea. It doesn't make much sense, but that's what they want. That's what they want.
So people start arriving. Cynthia comes with her friend who's extremely into smelling wine because he gets a glass of wine. He just puts his nose like in the glass. And he's like, really? It's white cold. It's white chilled wine. Can you please get over yourself, sir?
I think I'd be sniffing wine, too, if I was about to go headlong into a boobs and bourbon party an hour a day.
If you're expecting unexpected guests this Christmas, pop down to Tesco, because chilled party food is 3 for the price of 2. That's everything from duck spring rolls to Tesco finest tempura prawns. So you'll be prepared for everything and everyone. However you do Christmas, everyone's welcome at Tesco. Cheapest item free, selected stores while stocks last, ends 1st of January.
Hello, it's James from My Dad Wrote a Porno. Now, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without a bit of badly written erotica by a 60-year-old retired dad. And you're in luck because this year's Christmas Porno Special is available right now exclusively on Spotify for 2 weeks only to get you in the festive mood. Not only that, but you can also listen to all 4 seasons of My Dad Wrote a Porno, as well as thousands of other amazing podcasts for your oral pleasure. Just head over to Spotify and start listening right now.
Anything to alter my state.
Yeah, so Cynthia was going to bring Leon, but she didn't want to give everyone the wrong impression, which basically means she doesn't want everyone to root her on to get back together with Leon when she's dating FaceTime. You know?
Oh, Cynthia, finally. Oh, my God, you came to your senses.
Yeah, it's not a cell phone or a homosexual.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous man with high personal standards and an intellect. Thank you, Cynthia. You finally figured it out.
Poor Cynthia. So then this new girl comes. Wait. Oh, no, Yvonne. It's Tanya.
Well, Tanya shows up with Paul. Yeah. Paul was cute, by the way. Good job, Tanya. And then Candy and Todd are – just people are arriving. And so then there's this new girl, another customer from the swag experience, Swagalicious or whatever it's called. It's Yvonne or Ivana and Rick.
Yvonne. Yvonne or whatever.
Yvonne. Yvonne. Yeah. She's All we know about her is that she's a quote-unquote fun customer.
Yeah, I hope she's still wearing the tags because her outfit's hideous. So they start tasting wine, and you know that this girl has come in to totally audition because she's, first of all, it's one of those audition scenes where they're like, let's invite five new people.
Yeah.
And she's just giving everyone a dirty look immediately. And yeah. She gets a glass of wine. She goes, that's good. What's the next one? And everybody just looks at her like,
Ducky!
Candy. I did a scene at Riley in the background because you said that you hope that she still had the tags on it, which was a subtle reference to Candy's boutique. Tags versus swag. So, so many layers in this podcast, guys. You all have to listen very carefully.
So many that I don't even remember them.
Wow. So Marlo shows up with some guy she, like, found at O'Reilly's. I mean, this guy, like... They just met. They obviously just met. And she's like, can you come to a party with me and hold my hand? He's like, sure.
Yeah. She's like, hey, I like ginger beer. Oh, well, you're a ginger bear, but I'll take the order. So I think he's like some big redheaded gay guy. Because at first he looks like a scary redheaded straight guy.
Right.
But then later someone's like, what's up, ginger bear? They said something to him. And he's like, oh! And I was like, wow, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So
see that one coming.
So various people come in. They're now starting to sit down at the table. And so Eva and Michael come in, and Eva sits down right next to Ivana. And Ivana just gives Eva the biggest stank eye. Like such stank eye that I started to wonder if Ivana was on her season of ANTM. I was like, this is the sort of stank eye that's reserved for reality stars who've been wronged by other reality stars in a different decade.
Again, it's a really weak newbie move to go after another newbie like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, give me a Claudia and go for Nini at a soup kitchen. You know, right. I need that. I don't need you going for Eva. Who cares about Eva?
Yeah.
She barely got her cake tasting scene in.
Yeah.
Exactly. This episode. You know? Like aim higher.
And that's sad because Bravo loves like a 2-segment long cake tasting. Like a cake tasting, commercial break, back to the cake tasting.
So, yes, and then what happened last week? A cake tasting, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, and previously on Real Housewives, cake tasting.
So Portia and Dennis arrive. Dennis is dressed like a Dear John hat, and Portia is like, she's got this, her hair was bright red, right? She had like a full-on,
Fantasia, when Fantasia went crazy on American Idol.
And she's just like not saying hi to Shamari, which is... bizarre that they have this feud, but we don't really know what it's based in, and it's just happening, and no one seems to be concerned about it. No one seems to be like, whoa, she didn't say hi to Shamari, and like, it's not really even like popping up in the storylines. The only one who seems to notice that she's in a feud is Shamari herself, which is
This is Shades of the Shade with Portia and Nini, when Nini was pretending she didn't know Portia. I'm not Portia, Phaedra. And Phaedra's like, excuse you, like, we grew up together. She's like, no, we didn't. She's like, Nini, yeah. We knew all the same people. We went to the same schools. No, we didn't. I don't know you.
Yeah. That's right. That's such a good call.
Portia's doing that now, and it's still as phony.
Yeah.
So Shamia's like, really? Did she just do that to me? Or Shamari? And some of these I actually wrote her full name, Shamari. I've got Sham written down, and I've got Shamia in me to let. It's gonna take a year, you guys. I'm saying it now. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm just happy that you finally started saying Eva instead of Ava.
You see, baby steps.
Yeah.
Second year. I'm telling you, it takes me 2 years to learn.
Yeah.
It's like chewing.
Yeah.
So. Shamari's like, yeah, she walks in with her red wig or like Ronald McDonald wig and her husband in his leprechaun suit. She's like, this is not the Grinch that stole Christmas, okay? Which is very nice to the advertising department because they can't stop running those little cartoons under their faces of the Grinch.
But it's also like an extremely mixed metaphor. Like, you know, you talk about leprechauns and then, wait, what did she say about her wig? The red wig?
So I think she just said it's a red wig.
Oh. But either way, leprechauns, Grinch, like, you got to pick a lane for your metaphor shade and you stick in it. Like, leprechaun, you got to say, this is not like a tricks box. Lucky Charms box, you know? Like, something like that, Shamari.
Yeah, she's like, that leprechaun and his Christmas stealing. It's like all one big holiday there.
Shamari's like, oh, I hear there's this Indian restaurant that serves lychee martinis. That makes total sense. She doesn't know. Doesn't know how to... Keep it right.
So Candy is like, well, Dennis was really nice to me.
which is weird. She's like, is he plotting?
Is there a group of girls ready to jump me in the parking lot?
And meanwhile, there is no sign of bourbon at this party. They're not even at a place that specializes in whiskey. Nini's ordering like a Moscow Mule. Like, it does not make. I don't even think she knows what bourbon is. I think she thought like bourbon meant burping, like we'll be burping after dinner.
Boobs and burping. They're like, why is Nini burping so much? She's like, come on!
Too many lychee martinis.
So we see Mike, who is Eva's husband. He's like, when I was running for mayor, I was like, you lost like really badly. You might want to stop saying that, you know?
Yeah.
How about go back to like when I was working at Home Depot? Because that's like a job, you know? It's a job that you could have had.
Yeah. Out here, we're making things. Is that their slogan? No, it's not. I think I just made that up.
I think their slogan is, there's no O in Homo Depot, so stop saying it that way, Ronnie. I'm like, how dare you? I'll say it how I want to, Homo Depot.
I think their slogan
Factory is, of Homos.
I think their slogan is, we actually don't have mayors at Home Depot, Mike.
So he's like, when I was running for mayor, a lot of people pulled their support from me. They would just pull it away. But Dennis never did. He stayed. He stayed with me. He's a good dude.
Oh, that good to know that Dennis has great judgment.
Yeah. He's like, whoever will let me park a hot dog truck outside of their campaign headquarters, I'm in. So why did people pull support from him? What did he do? Is there some drama that we didn't know about?
They probably were waiting on aisle 6 for too long. And we're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not voting for this guy to be mayor of Home Depot. I'm going over to the paint chips. So
this is a huge table and everybody's kind of chatting away. And Yvonne goes, that bitch can get me a drink. I was like, what? Like she's just mad about the waiters. And her husband is, or boyfriend, whoever it is mortified. He is hating her guts because she's coming in here and putting extra all over everything. And he's like, oh, God, I'm mortified. Yeah.
And for some reason, she's sitting at the head of the table, which barely makes sense. But so Greg gets up. He makes a speech about like, who knows what. He's just like, welcome to bourbon, boobs and bourbon. Thank you all, and you'll have your compliments.
We like trips, and we like drinking. Thank you for coming. And they're like, Greg! So then Nini starts her game. She's like, one of the things we like to do on couples night is talk about how we met each other. And so she starts telling this long story, making herself like the princess in a castle in Zelda or some shit, like waiting for Greg to show up with a sword and take her away.
I know. And Candy's like, no, Riley, can we just get to it? You met at the strip club and 6 months later, you were married. The end.
At the same time, she did make her story sound more interesting than I started fucking a PA and brought him home and put him to work. So
yeah,
fair is fair.
And also Candy put such a funny like twist on it, on how she met Todd, because she tells about how she, you know, they were in Africa and there was like the bone guy who was saying like the guy that you're gonna fall in love with is like with you and has been with you all this time. And then she's like, see, Riley. And then I saw him across the room. He was in the other room. I was like, just say he was a PA on the show.
He was holding a cup of coffee with your name on it, okay? She's like, wait a minute.
So Shamari, her love story is that she met Ronnie at the club, and then we got it in the next day.
Yeah, she's the thirst that comes off of her. Like, even Cacti are like, damn, that girl's thirsty.
Yeah.
Because she has to bring, like, name drop. She's like, well, he held my hand. Oh, and Bobby Brown was there, and so. And then we fucked.
Yeah.
Five people at the same time. But don't tell anybody. Yeah.
She is like a Sprite can. Obey your thirst. So, so Eva is then like, her thing is that she went up to Michael at this party and was like, I can cook well. And he's like, great, because the only thing I've been eating is hot dogs, because that's the only person who's gonna been supporting my campaign, so can I have a non-hot dog meal? And she's like, yes, I can't believe you only have the hot dog guy behind your campaign. And he's like, yeah, I know, it's kind of crazy, like no one's backing me, but for some reason this hot dog dude is. It doesn't make sense. I don't know why he's wasting his money on me, but I'll take it. And she's like, I know, let's have lasagna.
So then Portia, Dennis is like, well,
you almost missed Marlo's story.
Oh, oh, Nene goes, your turn, Marlo. And then all I wrote is redhead guy red. What did she say to Marlo?
Marlo goes, I'm going to pass, which is actually how they met. They were on the highway and she's like, excuse me, I'm going to pass your car. And then she crashed into him and she's like, oh, hey, I'm going to thing. You want to come with me?
She's like, listen, Ted Turner still won't come on camera, okay, gay person? Now get out of your crashed car and get into mine for a little while.
Do you get a Sears discount?
So then Portia. So Dennis is like, well, she said, she dissed me when I first met her. And then the next day she said, I want to see you. And then I said, I want to see you tomorrow. And then Portia takes over. She's like, yeah, he was like, tomorrow, I'm going to see you tomorrow. And I was wearing like shorts and a t-shirt and he had all these tattoos and those tattoos were talking to me. So romantic.
She was on Quaaludes.
Yeah. And Candy's like, tattoos with other girls' names on them.
Candy's doing that thing where she like rolls her eyes at her hand. You know, she's like holding a glass. She's like, you know, she sort of like does like a dive bomb with her head. Like,
yeah, she lifts her eyebrows and her eyelids, but her eyeballs are like down.
And she turns her head to the side a little bit. Yeah. Like, see now, rally, diagonal.
So then Portia's been given a little prod, I guess, by the producers, because Candy's like, now, Yvonne, you and Eva went to the same school, same time. And Yvonne's like, we sure did. And you were friends with Tiffany, who's a very, very good friend. And Eva's like, Tiffany, she was in my wedding. And then they're like prodding Portia, and she's like,
haven't you not know each other's?
Yeah.
That's why you tattoo people's names on your body so you don't forget them. This is so embarrassing for you guys. Well done, Dennis.
So then Ivana is just like, well, here's where we're going to go with that. She's like doing a presentation about what her fight's going to be. She's like, all right, great. Thank you so much for coming. What we're going to do now is we're going to fight about something petty, and then I'm going to yell at everyone, and then you're all going to laugh at me. Thank you. Okay, let's start.
Oh, God. And they just kept cracking up that this new girl is, like, obviously trying so hard to have a fight.
Yeah.
And they basically just all laughed in her face. And she's like, can I say what I'm going to fucking say?
Yeah.
And then she goes, well, here's my problem. I said hello, and you said nice to meet you, and we'd met before. And Eva goes, oh, well, I'm sorry. I don't remember that. She goes, that is impossible. I'm Yvonne. That bitch, Yvonne.
I was Yvonne from Clark, C-A-U. I was that bitch. That bitch. Candy's like, must not be memorable. I was like, oh, Yvonne, like, the fact that this woman was like, popular in college 16 or 17 years ago and is, like, still coasting off that means that, like, there's no reason why she doesn't have a peach right now, like, give this woman a peach. She's
like, yeah, she probably wore like a jacket that said Yvonne, that bitch. Like, everyone knew me.
Okay, relax, Cree Summers. So, so then Eva's like, there is absolutely no way I'm gonna hang out with anyone that opts to wear a flammable yellow dress reminiscent of a banana flavored condom. Not gonna happen. I was like, okay. Now listen, I've been known to have some like meandering disses on this podcast, but I mean, Eva, you got to work. You're on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to come for someone, don't come for Eva. I don't want to hear her terrible comebacks. Okay, you're dismissed, Yvonne, and you can take Eva with you. Okay, and the wannabe mayor, get him out of here, you guys. What the hell? Casting has always been so great on this show. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah. So the news is that Greg has arranged a couples trip. Which has me concerned because we sit through so many couples trips unmarried to medicine. And the only reason why I draw that comparison is more because what's annoying about the couples trips is that then they all try to do couples therapy with each other and they talk about relationships. And it just gets so tiresome. Like, why? Why? Just send the ladies out together and have them fight.
Yeah, exactly. So now, well, although the couples trips have been some of the most fun trips, like that one where Kenya was flirting with Apollo and Phaedra got
I take it all back.
But yeah, married to medicine can sometimes
be like, oh, okay, well, actually, that's enough.
Marriage of Venice,
Toya is yelling at somebody about a potato, you know,
or literally a biscuit. And you know, the thing is that like the Marriage of Medicine couples fight, couples trips are usually like really good, and then when you're ready for them to be over, then all of a sudden you have to sit through like unlicensed group therapy, like led by either Simone or Heavenly, and it's like, oh, this is just going on too long.
Yeah, exactly. Just like this, probably recap. We're going to be like, and then we're going to talk about Married to Medicine.
Yeah, guess what?
Married right after this, guys.
Coming up next.
Yeah, so next, Portia. Next is the big reveal for Portia. This is called the I Trapped Your Ass Party, Hot Dog Man. And I think that this, I think in each of their minds, they've trapped each other, you know? Because Portia probably thinks, this guy gets me a new diamond every day. And this guy's like, I'm going to have my hot dogs on TV forever.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the hot dog is like, ooh, I just tricked that bun into wrapping itself around me. And the bun is like, ooh, I just caught a hot dog. So it works out.
Yeah, exactly. And they're both going to relish their short time together.
If they can muster the energy for it.
Yeah, so she's already acting like a rock star's wife. She's wearing those lightly tinted glasses around the kitchen. Like she's been reading something, Rosalie. And she's using his private chef to make him a birthday dinner. And she's bought him a gift. For his birthday, he bought her a gift. And she's like,
Daddy, typical daddy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's some talk about candy, but whatever. It's the gifting thing. Did you notice, by the way, they were in Dennis's place, right?
Yeah, I think so, but it looked like the candy factory. I mean, I'm not sure. Because there was candy everywhere. It was like those little gumball machines that you put a nickel in to get a gumball.
All I know is that on the couch, there was a pillow that was in the shape of a daisy, but the petals were all rainbowed and it had a big smiley face on it. And I thought that was hilarious that Dennis would have that.
Yeah, it was an odd place because it looked like it was kind of a kid's, like a daycare or something.
Yeah, nothing made sense. So Portia starts giving her gifts. So he opens up the first one and it's like a baby shoe. And then she's like, look! And then there's like another baby shoe and he's like, huh? And then she like pulls out like instructions to how to make a crib and he's like, huh? And she pulls out like an appointment to see like an OBGYN and he's like, huh?
She squats down and like pushes a baby out and he just puts like mustard on its head. She's like,
no, that's our baby.
He's like, yeah, it's like he is not connecting the dots, you know, like there's like there's like a full-on like Le Mans class voucher. So finally she's like,
there's like one of those big question mark shaped pillows, pregnancy pillows, which I bought on a Black Friday during Amazon one time. Then I was like, wait a minute.
There's like a pictogram, like a diagram that's like, no sushi, no cold cuts. He's like, huh.
No salmon.
So yeah, she's pregnant. And I like Portia and I don't know her in real life. But people I like on TV, especially TV that we watch this much, I consider them kind of friends, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And so I didn't have the proper reaction because when my friends say I'm pregnant, it's usually not like, yay, let's eat hot dogs. It's like, okay, you know, do I have to drive you this time or can you take the bus?
Wow. Well, what I thought was funny was that she whipped out the pregnancy test from her breast. Like she like had it in her bra and she was like, look, and she just pulls it out. I was like, you remember you peed on that, just so you know.
Yeah. And by the way, that's your toothbrush.
It's Dennis's toothbrush.
Yeah. It's an Oral-B Plus
she's
toothbrush.
Like, look, I'm pregnant. It's like, no, that just means the toothbrush is ready to be replaced.
It's not a baby. You swallowed tartar.
So let's move away from this topic. And speaking of away, Ronnie, can we talk about away?
As you know, me and Ben have been traveling all over the U.S. with our show. And every single time we go, we both use our away luggage. We love this. It's perfect. It's got four little rollers on the bottom. It fits perfectly into our overhead bins. It's got a little ejectable TSA-approved battery that you can actually charge your phone and all your chargeables with. I mean, this thing is just perfect. And when we went to Nashville recently, we were looking all around the airport and saw people with these away
suitcases all around us, and we were like, look, look at what we've brought to the world.
I have to say, I really have to like throw my weight behind this bag, because I use my away bag literally to schlep our merchandise from show to show to show, and I'm bringing all those magnets, and those magnets are heavy. And it's like, I always do an odd pack, and so it's out of balance. So my away bag, it falls over, it gets knocked around, it has gone through the ringer, and it holds up. I have to say, this thing is durable AF. And on top of that, because I have to have my away bag, and then I have another piece of luggage, the away bag is like, what's really nice, it has these four wheels, so it sort of glides along. It just makes life that much easier for me.
They're all made from lightweight, durable German polycarbonate or aluminum alloy. You can charge your phone up to 5 times from the optional TSA-compliant ejectable battery in the carry-ons, which you can easily remove with one click. Mm-hmm. And the interior compression systems let you pack more.
Yeah. And by the way, that like one-click thing is important, because if ever the airline's like, hey, you can't bring on a battery, you can't like stow this away with a battery, you just press that thing, take out the battery, and you are set, girl.
Yeah, it is ejected. So to get $20 off a suitcase, go to awaytravel.com/crappins and use the promo code crappins during checkout. That's $20 off a suitcase, okay? Visit awaytravel.com/crappins and use promo code crappins during checkout.
Because this season, everyone wants to get away. Anyway, so now let's
any away.
Any away. Let's roll on over with our four wheels to Married to Medicine as we glide through the terminal of life.
The terminal of life. So this is a little mini cap, everybody.
Mini cap.
Just to warn you right up front. So this episode basically centers on Toya trying to have a girls trip. And everybody's like, Toya, I don't think you should be able to plan another trip right after you ruined the last one with your biscuit fights.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, sort of in the early on in the episode, one of the big things that happens is that Simone and Cecil go on a date. It's date night because they're doing so much better. You know, Cecil and I are doing better. So they go to this restaurant, and Cecil, they're both like really cute and lovely, which meant automatically they're gonna have a huge fight. Like they all, anytime they dress up nicely, I think maybe Simone feels like insecure about how she looks, so when she's dressed up nicely, she's like, do I look nice? I don't think I look nice. I feel uncomfortable. Cecil. And now she starts yelling at Cecil. So
I think she was furious because he's taking her to this restaurant and not telling her that she's wearing the exact same things that the waiter is, you know. She's wearing this like safari tan colored dress that's, and it's the exact same apron that the waitress is wearing. And I think she was just like, fuck him. He probably brought Debbie here.
Yeah, she fully talks herself into a frenzy because they're like celebrating how they're like, everything is better. And they're like, you know what? We had a bad year and this year is going to be a good year. And she's like, and hopefully you won't ever put me in a position again where I feel like divorce is my only option. Why are you friends with Tanya? Why are you friends with Tanya? Is it Tanya time? Is it Tanya time?
Oh, I think it's Debbie. Isn't her name Debbie?
Oh, I thought her name was Tammy. It's Tammy.
Tammy. Okay. yeah, Tammy. So he's like, oh, so I guess it's all me that's in trouble all the time. She's like, it was you who put me in that. Yeah, so she went crazy. And she's like, I will not deal with this. And she gets up and, like, storms out of the restaurant.
You're making excuses for a bitch who didn't give a fuck about a marriage. I am tired of it. I'm like, Simone, it is, like, 4:30 p.m. in an empty restaurant, and you're screaming about something that happened last season.
I know. The other tables are like, why is that waitress so mad? So she storms out, and then Contessa and Scott are still boring the living soul out of me. Okay, yeah. They're sucking it out.
But there's two things I just want to mention about this scene with them. One, I thought it was really cute that Scott was doing his daughter's hair. And second of all, I really was hoping we'd get an explanation for why Dr. Contessa was wearing a TCPY polo shirt. Did you notice that?
No. I'm like a yogurt?
Yes. And I even looked it up. I was like, is maybe TCBY, is that like a medical acronym also? And I looked it up and it was the exact TCBY like logo. Like, did they have like a TCBY franchise? Like, I need to know why she was wearing that polo.
I don't know, but it makes sense because she is like frozen yogurt. Like, I'm watching the show for ice cream, and she's like, "Oh, it's frozen yogurt." And I'm like, "No,
ma'am." As someone who enjoys frozen yogurt a lot, I instinctually want to rebuff you, and yet I actually understand because she's kind of like the plain, but you don't get any toppings on it, so it's just like, yes. there's tang, but there's like a lot of like uninteresting stuff too.
Yeah, she's like, "I'm gonna call my sick dad." Fast forward, contestant. Okay, I'm over it already. I'm sorry that your dad's sick. I'm sick of hearing about it. Do something. Do better.
Yeah.
So shopping. Mariah is Mariah takes her kid to go get some ladylike clothes, which is mm-hmm. pretty cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
And then we get church music. I was like, "What is this?" Because
yeah,
it was like, this is the first song that's not like, "I have money and power. It was like a Jesus song, and it's Heavenly coming into church to have a meeting with Mariah because she figures she can't scream at her if they're in church.
Yeah, I have to say, first of all, I really enjoyed that public domain music. Second of all, by the way, wait, this is important. I can't believe I didn't even mention this. I went to dinner at Genghis Cohen over the weekend, you know, down the street from people. Uh-huh. And so I was at Genghis Cohen. And they started playing a song, and I was like, I was sort of like jamming to it. I was like, "Why do I know this song?" And I was like, "Oh my god, this is like one of the public domain songs that they use on Below Deck, and I think it was on Summer House too, like a transitional song." I was like, "I cannot believe the public domain music has made the jump from Bravo to my favorite Chinese restaurant."
And I felt, oh god, that's hilarious.
I was so happy.
That's some funny shit.
Yeah.
So they walk into this church, and it's one of those churches with like movie seats and stuff. My parents go to one of these churches. Cool Church, as it's called. Yeah. There's a rock band and popcorn. So they go into this church, and Heavenly's like, "I didn't want to beat your ass, so I had you come meet me in a church." Mm-hmm. And Mariah's like, "Well, I thank you for doing it that way because it makes me feel like it is sincere." Which made no sense, but yes. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Heavenly's doing that squealy thing.
Yeah. She's going like,
"Praise the Lord, Mariah. Praise the Lord, Mariah. Daddy.
Mariah, I really want to be in a good place with you right now. And I just feel like I'm going to humble myself to talk to you. You know, it's not every day that I'm willing to talk to a hoe like you. Or a hoe who has a mama who is like your mama."
Jesus' mother was a virgin. I like your mama. They're like, "No."
So Mariah's like, I just want to know what I did to offend you so I don't do it again.
Yeah,
and
right.
That, like, I was like, well, I don't think you will be able to help yourself. And second of all, like, I'm getting flashbacks to the makeover scene earlier this episode when Mariah was telling this very, like, overly dramatic story about when Lauren was born. And she's like, "I knew then that the world didn't revolve around me anymore." I'm like, oh, bullshit, Mariah. You've never thought that for a moment. And that's what you did.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention when Mariah walked into the church, they're playing this like happy church music and Heavenly's waiting. And then Mariah opens the door and it goes, crash. It's like a cymbal crash. Speaking of Genghis Cohen. And then it's pure silence as she walks in. And I was like, even your own show is giving you the gong. I fucking love this show sometimes. So Heavenly's like, "I thought it was time that I humbled myself and came to you, Miss Mariah." And Mariah's like, "Well, okay, what can I not do again?" And she goes, "Well, you know, I'm talking to a doctor, and he says my lot, and he also told me that you're just like my bitch sister."
You ever have a sister you hate so much you just wish you could slam her head down into the pavement time and time again? You're like that to me. That's what you remind me of.
Yeah, you, my sister would lie on me just like you lie on me. Mariah's like, "I don't lie on you. I got a sleep number." She's like, "No, lie on me. You tell lies." And she's like, "Now, Heavenly, I never lied on you, okay? I never, ever lied on you. I just repeated what somebody said. Like, that is not going to work, ma'am.
Yeah.
And you also said you had receipts, which I have not seen or heard, which means you lied to me as well. So, yeah. Not buying it.
Not buying it. So anyway, they pretty much are like, you know, they get to a good place. At Mariah's like, is it possible you had your mindset before you met me because of this whole sister thing? And Heavenly's like,
yeah, I mean, when I'm saying that, like, when I met you, I was like, who the fuck is this bitch? Oh, sorry, Jesus, sorry.
And then they cut to outside of the church and like lightning striking the church.
Yeah.
So funny. So Mariah is like, well, that was called retaliation when I said that about your husband, because you talked about my husband's penis and you never slept with my husband. Mariah, this is why Mariah makes me crazy. She never makes an ounce of sense. And so Heavenly's like, you're the one who talked about his penis. And then we see a clip of Mariah saying that Adrian or Aiden overcompensates for his penis because he's not black, which is hilarious. And I don't remember that clip at all.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
So the reason these people have for these two women have for fighting, they don't even know. They don't even know. They just don't like each other. Okay. And that's okay. Please don't just start liking each other because you went to church. That's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, now it's time for the big trip to the winery. So everyone goes to Toya's house, and Toya's like making cocktails in the party bus, which is like kind of funny to do that before going to the winery, but fine, you know, hey, party time, you know. So Quad shows up on time and everyone's like, whoa, Quad's here on time. She's like, well, I had to be here on time. The sister circle said the sister circle is going to be a clock from now on, and I said I have to hand it to you, and they said exactly the hands of time, and I got so emotional I had to be here on time. I don't know what I'm saying, people. You know what,
neither does she. That's why it's so fun. My chin is on my hand. I'm just watching you like a TV show.
Okay.
So Mariah comes up next, and she's like, well, I gotta tell you, I'm on call because Aiden's a bit under the weather, so if anything pops off, which sounds like she's saying Aiden is under the weather, so if anyone starts a fight with me, I'm fucking out of here. I'm not dealing with your shit today. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought she was saying. And then Contessa comes and totally sucks the air out of the room. And they're outside, so that tells you.
Yeah, she's still trying to show off her new boobs. She's like wearing like just something that does not fit with what everyone else is wearing. So they get onto this bus, and Toya is like,
well, what you should have did was get ready for this, because I want everyone to have a chance to get stuff off their chest that they haven't been able to get their stuff off their chest and stuff and stuff.
I'm like, how many times do these women have to gather together and declare that it's time to get stuff off their chest? I mean, like, what else is left on the chest?
And it's always Toya, and she's always locking them in somewhere they can't escape from her yelling at them. You know, it's like, I've got about to all hear this bus to talk about why I'm mad at you. So it starts with Simone, and she's doing her preacher talk because she hasn't yelled at anybody yet except her husband. So she's like,
yes, Toya, a year ago, we were on a similar bus. We each need to name something that you know you need to work on.
And she's like, I need more patience. And then we get imitations of the ladies doing Quad, which is cracking me up. Because it's Quad just, I mean, not Quad, Simone. Because Simone's just screaming and yelling at everybody. And then being like, I can't help it. I can't help it.
Yeah, so Simone needs more patience. Literally, she's like, I need more patience for my practice. But also, I need to work on my personal patience. And so Quad's issue is, I'm extremely stubborn. And what has transpired is that I did not steal a sleep number. I received a sleep number. That's what I did. I saw that sleep number in the club with another girl. And I said, I can't do this Dr. Sleep Number anymore.
And then Heavenly goes, I'll give you my doctor's phone number, girl. And she's like, I will ask for the phone number if I need it. I was like, okay, way to not be stubborn. So then Contessa's like, well, I need to learn better to assess people, to meet them where they are. Like, if you said this to me, it doesn't mean that I can just say it to you, because everyone's just not the same way as me. And they're like, and Toya goes, so what is your flaw? And she's like, Well, I think that I'm just being factual when other people, some people, you people, you, Toya, you know, sometimes you don't understand what I'm saying because it's simple English. And I'm just being factual because, you know, being a military officer and all, and some people, you know, who look a lot like you but are generally louder, you're just not ready to receive that.
Like some people aren't able to accept that this is this country's best yogurt, okay? That's a fact. It's a fact.
Jackie's like, well, baby steps. Yogurt is the first step to unfrozen yogurt, which is wonderful with probiotics. Anybody want to tell Eugene about that?
Yeah. So, Simone is complaining that she thinks that Contessa talks about people behind their backs. And this sort of brings up the whole controversy in Antigua with the Toya getting startled by a crab, and they show the flashback of the crab scurrying away yet again, which
is like your favorite clip of the whole
this
season.
Like this guilty ass crab, like there it goes, catch the crab, it caused drama.
And then Toya's like, yeah, because when we were at Antigua, you were accidentally hurt. And there were two other people that saw it, and your husband was there, and then he came back to our villa and completely lied. And she's like, he did not lie, and how dare you say my husband lied? And until you say that your husband, Toya said, until she says that her husband is a liar, that we can't move on.
Yeah.
Which is why Toya can never win any fight ever.
Never. So now Contessa's furious, and she's like, you sound like you want to get choked out. And Toya's like, choked out. So she stands up because it's reminding her about how, like, her closet's being choked out by the boiler room. So she's like, I can't let you bring that up.
You are not taking out the basement.
Yeah, so she's being like, choked out. And Contessa's like, a liar. So, and Contessa's just saying nonsense now, just, like, stupid stuff. She's like, do you think you're scary? I squash people like you for fun. I was like, last time I checked, you're walking around in a TCBY polo, like, moping in your kitchen.
Yeah, this is when everything just goes gobbledygook.
Yeah.
Because Heavenly tells Toya, she goes, Toya, God doesn't want you to talk like this. And Toya goes, I know God.
What if God was one of us? You ever think about that?
And then Mariah has never had peace in her life because she doesn't even know Kumbaya. She's like, Umbaya, my lord.
Ujimbaya.
Yeah. So Dr. Jackie's trying to change the subject, and, you know, everything calms down. And so they get to the winery, Frogtown Winery, and the vintner is just like, hey, well, I know there was some drama, but now you're here, so just, like, relax and have a good time. And Contessa's like, well, we haven't had a good time, so let's start now. And you're like, okay, Contessa, relax.
Yeah, Contessa's trying to come, but it's a little late, lady.
A little late.
And so, nonsensical. It's just like not making sense at this point. You're accusing somebody of purposely hitting a woman who just had a double mastectomy in the chest.
Yeah.
Which even Toya wouldn't do that.
You should be so lucky that all Toya did was slap you in the boob when she saw a crab. I think that, like, Toya from 3 years ago literally would have, like, spun around in three circles and then grabbed you and flung you off the cliff. Like, she just turns into, like, a lunatic. Like, just, like, pushing people out of the way. Like pounding at rocks and screaming.
So they eventually go and have some lunch. And their Contessa and Toya are both throwing stupid shade at each other that makes no sense. Toya's like, well, I didn't need that immaturity bus ride, but I definitely needed this out here. And Contessa's like,
Yeah. Contessa's
so one
like,
thing. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna. You can say it.
Sneeze, and so I like moved towards the mic. So sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, while you sneeze, I can say that Contessa does that thing, which is very much what I do, which is that I think of something like 10 minutes after the fact. So she tries to like bring it up again casually, and she's like, "Excuse me, remember when we were fighting? So here's something. I want to defend my husband, but also, you know, Toya, you're always saying that Eugene needs to lose weight." But you're in the exact same place. You're fat, too. That's basically what she's saying.
She's like, you and him have the same BMI. And Quad just starts, they cut to Quad in the diary room drinking the rest of her wine and then hitting the end of it, like trying to get the last drop out.
Yeah.
So Toya's like, BMI, is that like a candy bar? I don't think I've had one of those yet. And even Jackie.
My husband isn't a record producer.
My husband doesn't ride bikes. So So even Jackie's like, no, let's not do this now. And you know, if Jackie passes up an opportunity to like Hector someone about being fit, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know. Jackie usually loves a fat pile on.
Yeah.
But then Simone's like, come on, this is kind of an egg on. And Quad's like, okay, Contessa, you were in the wrong to say that she deliberately hit you. I didn't like it. I did not like it. Now, no one is against you here, but you need to apologize for that, because I did not like it
at all.
So Contessa tells us, okay, maybe on that one thing I'm wrong, but everything else in the picture is the whole. And I'm like, oh my God, lady.
So now they're like, they go to another winery and they're all sort of like, they're drunk, they're chatting, and they're talking, Simone's talking about her bad date and everything, and Jackie's like, hey, you know what, Cecil, I mean, Simone, maybe you should have to like work on telling Cecil things softly and more nicely, you know, just say, that hurt me, you know, that would be helpful, you know?
No.
And Simone was probably gearing up to get herself all mad again, but then Mariah gets a call because Aiden's been under the weather and he had a really bad headache, and she starts crying, and I was like, oh God, she's being dramatic. And then she comes out and is like, Aiden has viral meningitis, and I was like, what?
Oh my God, that I know, I was shocked.
You know what? So, you know, I mean, like, I'm a hypochondriac, so when he said he had a headache, I was like, oh my God. And my first instinct is always like, meningitis. But I was like, Ben, relax. And then when she said it was meningitis, I was like, That's scary. That's really scary. That's like,
especially when they explain it and they're like, well, this could lead to blindness, loss of your limbs. They started naming all this stuff. I was like, geez.
I mean, I was
that's
always
not good.
Yeah, I always thought like when meningitis gets to the point where you're like getting that bad headache, it's often too late. That's what I thought. So I was like, holy shit, that was a legitimately scary cliffhanger. And like that was like one time I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm with her. Like I would be crying too. That is scary.
Yeah. And they were all really nice. She's like, I'll have to go home, and they were like, no, we'll go home with you. I mean,
yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, you know, so
they all leave together.
Hopefully Aiden, I mean, I'm sure Aiden's fine, but yeah. We wouldn't even Aiden wish that on. So
yeah, I know. He's a little whiny bitch most of the time, but still, I would never wish that upon anybody.
No,
that brings us to the end of this recap. We will be back tomorrow with some pump rules.
Yeah,
and this is a very special 6-episode week plus our bonus. So if you want that bonus, it's Top Chef and Real Housewives of New Jersey from last week. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com and click the Patreon links. We also have all of our shirts that were limited this year for sale for 2 weeks over at watchwhatcrappens.com. And all of our live show tickets, well, a lot of them are up for sale right now. So go get your links. We're going to Dallas for a second show in February. We're going to DC, Boston,
Irvine, Vancouver,
Smudla. We're going every place.
And more to come. So you guys, thanks very much. We'll talk to you mañana with Vanderpump Rules.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're expecting unexpected guests this Christmas, pop down to Tesco, because chilled party food is 3 for the price of 2. That's everything from duck spring rolls to Tesco finest tempura prawns, so you'll be prepared for everything and everyone. However you do Christmas, everyone's welcome at Tesco. Cheapest item free, selected stores while stocks last, ends 1st of January.
Hello, it's Jamie from My Dad Wrote a Porno. Now, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without my dad writing some really terrible erotic literature. And Rocky Flintstone has not disappointed this year, because 2018's Christmas Porno Special is available right now exclusively on Spotify for 2 weeks only to get you in the festive mood. Not only that, but you can listen to all 4 seasons of My Dad Wrote a Porno, as well as thousands of other amazing podcasts, all for your oral pleasure. Just head over to Spotify and start listening now.